Good day, my friends. Welcome to Grace Lutheran's March 29th Sunday worship service. I hope you're doing well during this time of isolation. And remember, you're not alone, for God is always with you. I also hope that this time of worship is a blessing to you as we come into your home with this worship service today. Of course, we've all heard now the governor's directive that we are under a two-week stay-at-home directive. So we will be providing as much spiritual care for you as we can. There are devotionals on our Facebook page, our YouTube page, and, of course, our website. We are also posting our midweek Lenten service on the same sites and, of course, our Sunday morning worship service also, with the possibility of some live streaming next Sunday. So let's begin today where we should. Let's start at the foot of the cross together as we confess our sins and hear of God's forgiveness, a wonderful place for us to start today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God's promise to us in the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. My friends, I declare to you this morning that in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's confess together the summary of the faith, the summary that is ancient. It's an ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And God's peace to you.
Our word of worship is found in the book of Psalm, Psalm 130. Out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord, more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Let us pray. O Lord, comforter of the sorrowing and strength of the weak, hear our prayers for all who are suffering during this time of turmoil and distress, that whatever their needs, they may look to you in faith, receiving and knowing your help and comfort. Amen. We'll turn to the hymn titled, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14, the Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breathe from the four winds and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land, that you will know that I am Lord, that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. The second reading for today is found in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, life through the Spirit. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Let us pray. Keep watch, dear Lord, over those who work or watch or weep, and keep your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ. Give rest to the weary. Bless the dying. Soothe the suffering. Pity the afflicted, and be our ever-present help in trouble. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks, O Lord, for spring and summer, for seed and soil, for sunshine and showers, for farms and farmers, and above all, for life and growth from your hand. Bring warmth to our land, that once again we may plow and plant. Make us good caretakers of earth and faithful stewards of your bounty. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for the persecuted church, who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for the sake of your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Good morning, kids. Good to see you today. I hope you're doing well. I want to show you a couple of things. that I have here. One is an empty water bottle, and you can see that it's empty. You can even hear that it's empty. There's nothing in here. And this can kind of be like regret. It's easy for us to look back on the way things were before this all started, this pandemic, and we can get really upset that our lives are different. And we can go back and squeeze that bottle and think about how things were, and we can miss that. But there's really nothing back there for us but emptiness. Isn't it much better to have a full water bottle? Now, this one is, of course, full, as you can see. And this is like looking forward, okay? There's something forward for you that's better than just going back and being sad about what things were like before the pandemic. And I want to tie this full water bottle into what God has done for us in Jesus. Because of this cross, God is our friend. Because of this cross, he has taken our sins from us, and he's also given us the hope for a brilliant future. So, kids, let's not go back to the empty water bottle. There's nothing there. But let's look forward to a full water bottle, full of God's good, clear, and cool water. Remember, kids, because of the cross, God has forgiven you, and he's your friend, and so he has a bright future for you. The Apostle Paul said this in Romans 8:18, "The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed for us." So that's quite a passage. God owns the future, kids, and he's given the future to you in the cross of Jesus, okay? So look forward. That's where the good water is. Don't go back. There's just an empty bottle there. So let's pray. Lord God, during this difficult time, help us to look forward to what you have for us, not to return to that empty water bottle and grieve over it, but to look forward to what you have for us in the future. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen. Thanks, kids. Have a good day. Welcome. God's peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The title of today's message from John chapter 11 is, "What Do We Do Now?" In the Revised Common Lectionary, the three-year cycle of biblical texts for each Sunday, the texts for this year out of John's Gospel are notorious in their length. One approach in preaching a large text is to select a few verses out of the whole text and then expound upon them. But I'm not going to do that today. Instead, I'm going to read the whole story of the raising of Lazarus from a very earthy translation called The Message, written by Eugene Peterson. Then, after that, because this narrative is intended to tell us about Jesus and not Lazarus, I will make a few points about how the text opens up for us the opportunity to reflect on the power and the person of Jesus Christ and then apply that to us. Jesus Christ, the one who came and lived in our world of death and sorrow, and then left his footprint behind, the power of his cross and the power of his resurrection. So without any further ado, let's pray, and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless us in this time in your word. Speak to us, we pray, by your Holy Spirit. Enlarge our faith. We ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. The gospel text for this fifth Sunday of Lent, John chapter 11, verses 1 through 48. A man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. This was the same Mary who massaged the Lord's feet with aromatic oils and then wiped them with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Master, the one you love is so very much sick." When Jesus got the message, he said, "This sickness is not fatal. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, but oddly, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed on where he was for about two more days. After the 2 days, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." They said, "Rabbi, you can't do that. The Jews are out to kill you, and you're going back?" Jesus replied, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daylight doesn't stumble because there's plenty of light from the sun. Walking at night, he might very well stumble because he can't see where he's going." Now he said these things and then announced, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going to wake him up." The disciples said, "Master, if he's gone to sleep, he'll get a good rest and wake up feeling fine." Jesus was talking about death, while his disciples thought he was talking about taking a nap. Then Jesus became explicit. "Lazarus died, and I am glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. You're about to be given new grounds for believing. Now let's go to him." That's when Thomas, the one called the twin, said to his companions, "Come along, we might as well die with him." When Jesus finally got there, he found Lazarus already 4 days dead. Bethany was near Jerusalem, only a couple of miles away, and many of the Jews were visiting Martha and Mary, sympathizing with them over their brother. Martha heard Jesus was coming and went out to meet him. Mary remained in the house. Martha said, "Master, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask God, he will give you." Jesus said, "Your brother will be raised up." Martha replied, "I know that he will be raised up in the resurrection at the end of time." "You don't have to wait for the end. I am right now," Jesus said, "resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. And everyone who lives believing in me does not ultimately die at all. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Master. All along I have believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world." After saying this, she went to her sister Mary and whispered in her ear, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." The moment she heard that, she jumped up and ran out to meet him. Jesus had not yet entered the town, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When her sympathizing Jewish friends saw Mary run off, they followed her, thinking she was on her way to the tomb to weep there. Mary came to where Jesus was waiting and fell at his feet, saying, "Master, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her sobbing and the Jews with her sobbing, a deep anger welled up within him. He said, "Where did you put him?" "Master, come and see," they said. And Jesus wept. The Jews said, "Look how deeply he loved him." Others among them said, "Well, if he loved him so much, why didn't he do something to keep him from dying? After all, he opened the eyes of a blind man." Then Jesus, the anger again welling up within him, arrived at the tomb. It was a simple cave in the hillside with a slab of stone laid against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." The sister of the dead man, Martha, said, "Master, by this time there's a stench. He's been dead 4 days." Jesus looked her right in the eye. "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Then to the others, "Go ahead, take away the stone." They removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed, "Father, I'm grateful that you have listened to me. I know you always do listen, but on account of this crowd standing here, I've spoken so that they might believe that you sent me." Then he shouted, "Lazarus, come out!" And he came out, wrapped from head to toe with a kerchief over his face. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him loose." That was a turnaround for many of the Jews who were with Mary. They saw what Jesus did and believed in him. But some went back to the Pharisees and told on Jesus. the high priest and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Jewish ruling body. "What do we do now?" they asked. The word of the Lord. Now, the text ends with an important question. Granted, it comes out of the mouths of the Pharisees, the enemies of Jesus, but it is still a question that is brought to us by having witnessed Jesus' divine power over death and decay. What do we do now? That's a question we can ask ourselves. The first answer we're going to give that question is remember. What do we do now? Remember. Remember that in the same way that Jesus loved Lazarus, Martha, and Mary, so he loves us. Remember when it was reported, "Lord, he whom you love is ill," we're told Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. And he loves you too in the midst of this difficulty. We should remember that in the same way that he grieved with them and felt their pain, so he feels our grief and our pain too. He understands. That's part of why he came in the flesh and lived amongst us. We're told in the text, Jesus saw her weeping, and he was deeply moved within him. And then we're told in verse 35 that Jesus also wept. He was touched by their sorrow. We should remember that in the same way he came to them in spite of danger. Remember, the disciples said, "Rabbi, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and are you going back there? It's dangerous." But in the same way that he came to them in spite of the danger, so he has risked all for us. That's the story of the cross right there. So what do we do now? The second answer to that question is to trust him. You see, in the same way that he made them wait for a greater good, so we wait on him for his greater eternal good. Remember verse 4, Jesus said, "This sickness is for the glory of God." Remember what the verse I shared with the kids in the children's sermon from Romans 8:18, that the sufferings of this present moment or present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that God is to reveal to us. We have a brilliant future that we live our here and now lives against the backdrop. God owns that future. And he's giving it to us, so we have a lot to look forward to. And that steadies us in the here and now. What do we do now? Trust him. Trust him that in the same way that he listened to their hard questions, so he leans toward us to listen to our struggles. Remember? "Lord," Martha said, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Remember, friends, that when you ask hard questions of God, he hears them as questions of faith. So you can give him your hard questions and your struggles. And we're certainly finding that out as we work our way through the Psalms each day together, aren't we? So trust him. Trust him that in the same way that he gave his promise to steady their faith, so he gives us his word of promise to hold us in his power. Remember what Jesus said? "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies." That's a brilliant promise, folks. Hang on to that one. What do we do now? The third answer we'll give to that question is live. Live, my friends. And this means living in Jesus' new reality. Not looking back, but looking forward to what he has. You see, we now trust Jesus' love and concern as the reason he came for us and how he continues to deal with us. Jesus told us, "I am right now the resurrection and the life." And he offers that life to you right now. So trust in Jesus' love and concern for you right now. Also, live now, trusting in Jesus' working in us, always for the better, to create faith that connects us to his power, power over this world of sin and death. That's his present reality. So live now and trust in Jesus' true power over sin and death as he calls us to look beyond this world to his kingdom. We walk by faith and not by sight. So live. Live now trusting in Jesus' calling to live free. Free from death's dominion and looking forward to the resurrection. We live, my friends, beneath an open heaven because of what Jesus has done. And we live beneath that open heaven right now with God as our friend. So living in Jesus' new reality, that's where we're at. And that new reality comes to us right now in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of this turmoil, in the midst of this trouble. Jesus comes to you today with his new reality. I love what German theologian Helmut Thielicke says about living in Jesus' new reality. He says this: the person who sees the phenomenon, which is Christ, and thus realizes that the foundation of this world is fatherly and that they are loved, that person loses anxiety. They lose it not because the menacing, constricting forces are gone, but because they no longer have any power over them. The one who possesses the last hour no longer needs to fear the next minute. And my friends, in Christ, we do possess that last hour. It's God's gift to us. So we don't have to be afraid of the next minute. God has a hold of us, and he's going to get us all the way through to the very end. Praise be to God for his gospel and Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, often we cannot see your plans in our fallen world. Unbind us from the grave clothes of this world's expectations and give us faith to trust you to work for our greater good. Make our faith strong to trust you in everything, and to look beyond this world to the power of your resurrection. Unbind us now and call us out of the caves in which we dwell, that we may walk with you in your newness of life. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Lord of life. Amen and amen. Washed it. As we close out our time of worship today, we want to remember to pray for those who need God in a very special way. So let's do that right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, our great physician of body and soul. And we lift up those who need his special healing touch today. We pray for those who are struggling with the COVID-19 virus, who may be on a ventilator and fighting for their life. Lord, be very near to them and help them in their time of trial. Lord, we pray also for those healthcare workers that are on the front line of this, who go to work every day and live in the sphere of the virus. We pray that you would watch over them and keep them safe, Lord. Protect them as they go home to their families. Protect them, put a shield of protection around them, and keep them from getting this virus. And Lord, we pray for all the other frontline people, those who are working retail so that we might get gasoline and get groceries and get our medicines. Lord, we pray that you would watch over them and keep them safe too as they go about their business. And Lord, in this moment of silence, we lift up our own hearts to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Be well, be safe, and be encouraged. You have the new reality of Jesus Christ to live in right now. And may you walk daily with him in his strength and in his power and in his renewal. God's peace to you, my friends, and receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious and awesome God. And we will see you next time.